people and places. With your hosts, Brad Vanjore, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, it's Shift and Steer. And we are sitting here. We're already having fun right here in the studio today because it's summertime. It is officially summer, and that means that there's so many car events going on. And Matt, I want to start off with one thing right now.
Yeah.
Mike Brewer and I, we were out recording the Mike Brewer Behind the Wheel podcast.
Yeah.
And we were in that bright orange McLaren 570S. We were cruising down Pacific Coast Highway. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was perfect. The car was all camered up. We had our GoPro in the center. And on each side of the car, we had an iPhone. And, man, we were cruising along. We're doing all this great stuff. And I'm saying this all because I want you to know it doesn't just happen on our show. All of a sudden, my phone rang. And the other cameras are rolling when I was editing it the other night. Mike's driving along and he goes, and this car, it's fabulous. And Brad, in his professional way, is accepting phone calls. And I go, well, I'm not going to accept it, but I can't do anything about it. He goes, it never stops, does it? And I go, no, it doesn't. And then I said, ignore. It went away. And then I looked up and I go, okay, I got to reset the camera. Just a second. So it's just, it happens everywhere. These damn things, they're great for filming, but you can't say, you know.
Who called?
Huh? It was the factory. They were calling, talked to me about wheels.
About wheels.
So anyways, but I just thought it kind of made me think of when we're here in the studio and we have a guest on and all of a sudden there's a call waiting. Dink. Dink.
Yeah,
so
it happens a lot.
This happens all.
Our makeshift studio down here. Before we get started, I'm going to tell you guys about Turtle Wax.
Oh, wait a minute. Before you do that?
Yeah.
Could you tell us about Turtle Wax?
Yeah. After 71 years of car care innovation, Turtle Wax is really bringing the heat this summer with their new Carnauba Tropical Wash and Wax. It has 3 times more Carnauba friction-reducing detergents, and it's infused with Caribbean Crush aromatics that activate when you mix it up. The result is rich scented foam that's like taking your car on a tropical vacation. If you're looking for an easier way to apply that rich Carnauba Wax Shine, check out Turtle Wax Express Shine Carnauba Wax Spray. 3 times their Carnauba Express Shine Carnauba Spray. The spray wax provides not only a great shine, but has polishing agents that clean while you wax. I like that. You kind of do it all at once.
I tried to take my car on a tropical vacation, but I couldn't get it through customs.
I'm going to tell you a story about that. That's literally happening to us. I don't know if you knew this, but summer is bug and tar season. So pick up some Turtle Wax Bug and Tar Remover as well. It easily removes both bugs and tar, as well as other stubborn spots that are holding back your car's summer shine. Reach for Turtle Wax to have your car look as hot as summer feels. Turtle Wax, trusted innovation inside and out.
So you were going to tell me a story?
Yes, you mentioned customs. You know, we're sending that Porsche 935 to Goodwood. And
yeah.
It's supposed to be planed out there because there wasn't enough time.
Didn't you get clearance from the Queen?
Yeah, but we didn't get clearance from Trump or somebody on our end. It's been sitting here in LAX for like a week. It doesn't have a VIN number, and they're like, "How do you got to prove you can own it?" And we're like, "Yeah, we have this document, and from Gooding and all these people." And they're like, "Not good enough."
That didn't show that you own it. It just shows that you're sending it.
Yeah, not good enough.
You know, they'll probably want to crush it like they did the car at Boyd's that time.
Right?
When we had the Aluma Coupe.
Yeah.
And it didn't have a VIN on it yet because we had just built it, and we were just doing photos out in the desert. Highway patrolman rolls up on us, and he goes, "Where's the VIN number?" And we're like, "Well, we just finished it. It's on a public roadway." And we're not driving it. We're just photographing it. I mean, we had to pay tens of thousands of dollars through attorneys to get the car back. They were going to crush it. Let's hope that doesn't happen, because that would suck.
That cop was a dick.
But that explains it, because I saw on the news last night, they were like, some crazy guy driving a Porsche is on the runway.
Right? Yeah. $8 million Porsche to be crushed soon.
God,
because nobody can identify it.
Because nobody knows whose it is.
Just Google Adam Carolla Porsche and see a big picture of us holding the receipt when we bought it.
I was going to say, isn't one of the things that, hey, wait a minute. We bought it, and they conducted a transaction, and, it was a bill of sale, right? With a bill of sale?
Yeah. The problem is somebody over in whatever government office is saying this paperwork isn't good enough, but they're not saying specifically what they need. So we just keep throwing them paperwork at them, and they're like, not good enough, not good enough.
So
just tell me what you want, and we'll go and find it for you. And they really don't have it.
I guess I didn't really even realize it when we bought that car up at Monterey that it has no VIN on it.
It has a serial number.
But it doesn't have a VIN tag because it was always a race car.
Right, and it's got a chassis number.
Right. Yeah, so they didn't pull one off the assembly line and make it into a race car. They took a body in white, made it into a race car, and issued it a serial number.
They actually made a race car tub. They made a couple of them. And this happens to be, just coincidence, serial number 00930. So it's a 930.
Yeah.
You know, because I think there's a 009301 or something like that, or 02, but this is the 930.
So it's better. It's like it to 11, because if the other one's 931.
I mean, I guess there was a 935, but I don't think they did five.
Yeah.
Them, so.
But the, it's like that Mustang that I have sitting in my building in Arizona where Ford shipped it to me.
Yeah.
It's a body in white. It can be made into any kind of race car I want, but it can never be driven on the street because it doesn't have a VIN tag.
Apparently, you can't even park it on the street to take photographs of it.
You are absolutely right. Episode 13. No, I don't know what episode it was, but we talked about that. Yes.
Yeah.
So it's still there, sitting there?
It is.
When does it have to absolutely leave in order to be in England to...
That's a good question. We are... I guess as you're listening to this, it's like July 2nd-ish, something like that. And it's got to be there. So I would say it's got to be there in 8 or 9 days.
I guess it could be worse, Matt. It could be that it went to England and it's sitting in England somewhere and you guys are back here and it's like... we can't bring it back into the States because it doesn't have the right paperwork.
Yeah, I thought about that too, but I think it's a little easier because it's more like, where's my return receipt when you mail it out? Like, where's my return receipt? Like, here's the paperwork to bring it in. Use this, the paperwork to get it out. But of course, it's two different countries. So one country's like, you don't have paper written in English. I don't know what they use there. That's
I'm sorry. It's you know what it is.
Queen's
it's,
proper English.
It could be that they it's not legal, so they are going to deport it back to Germany.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what's going to happen.
As long as they don't crush it,
it's here illegally. They're going to deport it back to Germany.
I don't know how long it takes to get it through customs in the UK. So I say we have 8 days or something.
It just all depends. You know, we sent a hot rod over there once for a show, which is a funny story in itself because it went on a pallet on a 747.
Mm-hmm.
It got there and it was like nothing. It came off, they signed some paperwork, and Boyd and I are standing there and this guy pulls up with like a boat trailer.
Yeah.
And we're like, I mean, literally a boat trailer.
Yeah.
And we're like, you can't haul this car with that. Oh yeah. I'll just put some planks on it and we're good. And we're like, no, that's not going to work. It took them like 2 days to find a proper truck to haul it with. You know, I mean, it was just like, it was nuts. But because Boyd goes, well, we'll just drive it. And then, oh, you can't drive it over here. You know, it's, I guess, because it was left-hand drive or something. Oh, no, because it didn't have plates.
It didn't have plates. You didn't just tell them, well, we're just going to drive it around to the other side of the building where the trailer is and then just keep going?
Exactly. You know what? Boyd would have tried that. That would have been totally him. But you know what's weird is like I drove Shizum through Tokyo and it was fine. they didn't have any problem with it. And Japan's so, you know, all yeah. about their laws. But England, it was a whole different thing. It could have just been, you know, the people that were hosting us were afraid of it. But, well, so you got to get that that car over there.
Yeah, we got to get the car over there. I don't know what plan B is. Like, I don't know if it can't go, what happens. I mean, we're still going. And
you're going to be over there during the first ever autonomous hill climb.
Yeah, I saw that. Isn't that just a giant RC car?
Basically, yes.
So I feel like that's a different event. That's like the RC car nationals.
But the computer's the RC driver. That's the difference. It's all sensors.
Oh, so it's not like a drone car.
So you could be there. No. So you could be there during the first crash of the first autonomous
the first
car.
Autonomous car. As long as it doesn't crash into anybody or any of the other cars.
Hey, we got the 935 here. Look at his. Oh, my God. That car has crashed into yeah. it.
There's nobody in it. What the yeah. hell's going on?
So
yeah,
anyways,
I saw it. It's weird looking.
It's like a big black Darth Vader thing. You yeah. know, it's kind of long looking. It looks
yeah.
really long, especially for that course, because that course is pretty tight for a big car.
Can you ride in it?
I have no idea.
Because that could be interesting.
Yeah. Can you imagine going fast? Well, you saw the Formula E car that,
yeah.
you know, we talked about that, and that thing was crazy. It was super fast. And but you know what? We were talking about towing cars, getting cars places and all that. A while back, somebody sent us a box of these locks. And I was talking about how over the years, hauling cars, hauling boats, hauling whatever, locking stuff up.
Hauling ass.
How I would complain all the time about, you know, you'd get over to the storage garage or you'd get over to where your car trailer is or wherever it is. And you go, oh, man, I don't have my key to the lock. So you drive all the way back and you get it. And then or you get to the you know, the boat lock and you go, I don't have my lock.
Yeah, it's like my key's in the glove compartment. No, it's not. Nobody
yeah.
put it back there. Because we have the truck up at the shop that we use as sort of the tow truck, mm-hmm. the dually and stuff. But the keys go in the same place because everybody uses that truck. And guys from the studio, like, they'll go off and do like a music event or a Mangria event, and they use the truck all the time. And if the keys are never in the same place, what do you do?
Well, and worse yet, I've had somebody lose my keys, you know, my yeah. trailer keys, because I've got them on a separate one. It's got a nice little tab, says boat trailer, enclosed trailer, car trailer, whatever yeah. it is. And I had somebody lose one of those. Oh, I know I had it.
That happened to us in Monterey. We had the dually trailer or the keys to it, but not the trailer. And we had to call locksmith to get the trailer.
Why are they all named Smith? Why?
I don't know.
Every one of them, their last name is Smith.
And then what happened was, is, you know, the fold-out chairs and has the little cup holders in it.
Yeah.
Somebody put their beer over the keys in the cup holder.
So you had them the whole
and
time.
And they were there the whole time as everyone's, you know.
That's kind of like my story. It was Mikey and I had
after the locksmith came and
right.
jimmied it open, we found the keys in the beer holder. Because like, oh, the trailer's over now. Let's fold up the keys and fold up the chairs and put them away. Like,
you know what?
We done that
ahead of time? Wait a minute. There was beer involved.
There was beer
That's
involved.
Why. But Mikey and I were at Havasu. We had our boats out there, and I could not find the key to my tongue lock, you know, and I'm like mm-hmm. going, okay, I gotta go drop my boat off, and it is locked to my truck, you know, mm-hmm. and it's like, one guy said, well, just take your whole receiver hitch out, and I go, it's got a lock on it too, same key ring, and so we looked everywhere, couldn't find, I said, I know, I set them down, I could have sworn it was in my cup holder of my truck, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah, nope, so run down to the Ace Hardware store, buy a bolt cutter. I cut the lock off, take the boat back. I had to buy a new padlock, lock it up, put it in the garage, and we get back to the Mike's condo in Havasu, and you know, Sue picks up a beach towel, and there they are underneath the beach towel on the counter. You know, it's like, oh, there we go. So we wasted, like, you know, 2 hours of beer drinking time.
Yeah.
And spent money buying locks and everything. So what we're getting at is that somebody got a hold of us, and it's from a company called Bolt. Not Lock, but Bolt. But Bolt makes these really cool locks. They've combined technology with, you know, with what we're talking about. It's basically, they say it's breakthrough one-key lock technology, delivering convenient one-key lock technology. What it basically comes down to is all of our new ignition keys, they have those pills in them. They're a little electronic, you know, basically a microchip or whatever you'd call it. And you put it in, you turn it once, and it learns it. And then, unless you lose your car keys, you're in good shape, because all your locks, your tongue lock, your cable locks, any kind of locks that you have for all that kind of stuff, it's going to work from the ignition key in your truck.
And if you so your truck key can be programmed to
it is the key for all these locks.
Yeah.
And if you're somewhere, more than likely, you've got your ignition key because you drove there with your truck. So you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to have a key ring with all these extra keys on it and like that. So we told you about them. I've been using them, and I can tell you about my personal experience. And I've got a question, too, but we've got one of the guys from Bolt Lock on right now. Let's bring him up. So we've got him on. This is Jason Buckles. He's the sales account manager from Bolt Lock. Now, as I told you, we've, you know, they sent me some, and I've been using them, and I really like this stuff. And now, Jason, we've given them a little bit of the overview of how it works and everything like that and our experience with it. But before we start, Matt and I were sitting here, and we wanted to know if you'd be interested in going to court and getting a name change, because we just think that as the sales account manager for Bolt, you should have a name like Lock Smith. Don't you think, you know, that...
we can definitely see that.
Yeah, you know, people, you could introduce yourself. Hi, I'm Locke, and then you hand him your card. It's Locke Smith from Bolt, and you know, I mean, I think it would just, you know, just kind of really make you the man in the Locke world. So, anyways, hey, so we've been talking about how our experience have been in the past. We told a couple stories before we brought you up about how we've lost trailer keys. You know, Matt had a story about how they looked everywhere, finally had a locksmith come out, and the key to the tongue lock on their trailer was handsomely hidden underneath a beer can in the folding chair that they were sitting watching the locksmith do all the work to get that lock off.
I didn't find it because somebody didn't finish their beer.
Exactly. Yeah.
Had you finished your beer?
One more sip, right?
Yeah.
And I told a story of how, you know, I had to go buy a bolt cutter and a new lock and everything because mine were rolled up in a towel and I couldn't get my boat put away because it was locked to my truck. So this system is so smart because it solves those problems, because as long as you have your car key with you, all your keys are in one place, and you don't have to have all these extra keys. And as long as you don't lose your car key, I guess you're in luck. But maybe tell us a little bit about how the company got started and you know, some of the attributes that, you know, maybe we haven't touched on.
Sure. I mean, so Bolt here is a product line of Strattec Security. We're actually a spinoff of Briggs & Stratton. So a lot of people have heard about Briggs & Stratton, the mowers, all sorts of stuff, generators, things like that. We like to say we took the best part of their business, their lock and key business, which they've been doing for over 100 years now. We are an OE supplier to GM, Ford, and Chrysler for locks and keys. So we make our bread and butter is locks and keys. We make these all day long, every day. And Bolt, the idea came around is trying to simplify things on the production line, trying to make it easier so they're not trying to keep a track of giant boxes of locks for each vehicle. And it's such a great idea that we decided to take it to the consumers and have it available for anyone to try and make their life easier with just less keys and make it easier and more convenient for everyone out there. And you guys already touched on our main key point here is that this is all about trying to reduce the number of keys. You're not trying to find your key. You're not trying to go through this giant ring of keys just to figure out which one is for this particular lock. It's all about that one key convenience. So one key can open all of your locks, and you're not trying to constantly find it. And as I was saying, we're an OE supplier to GM, Ford, and Chrysler. So the same quality that we put into our locks that go onto your vehicle goes right back into these locks. So they're definitely top quality.
I like the idea of doing this because, you know, we hate to admit it, but everybody that has their trailer keys, when you lock up your truck and your trailer, you oftentimes just leave the trailer keys in the truck, and you think that's secure because the truck is locked, you know. But if you but you always take your truck key with you. So
good point.
If it was one key, then there's no more like leaving them, like you said, in the cup holder or something of the truck, and parking the trailer for a while you're taking the boat out, and then come back and you know your window's smashed and your trailer is missing, you know, with a note that says, "Ha ha, don't leave your keys in the car next time, buddy." Yeah. So you know, you always take your truck key with you, so why not have, you know, the truck key be the universal key for all of your, you know, trailer and locks and stuff.
Exactly. Now, if you accidentally leave it underneath your beer in the cup holder.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Now, Jason, I've got a big question that I've been wondering since I've received the box of locks from you guys. Let's say I get a new vehicle. Can these be rekeyed to my new vehicle's lock, or do I send those locks with the truck and I've got to get all new ones?
We say send the locks with the truck. So they all the locks permanently learn the first key using it. But it's a security thing. So you can reset the locks, and someone else could potentially reset them on you. This way they lock into your key, and you not have to worry about someone resetting them on them. We do have some programs to help return customers. So when you're buying new locks, we'll help you out there. But the main idea here is that most traditional locks, they'll rust out after, you know, 3-5 years. And, you know, might as well give some new products when you got your brand new truck out there, too. Really, we guarantee our locks. We have a limited lifetime warranty on these things. So if something happens with it and it starts rusting out, let us know. We'll replace it for you. We guarantee our locks for a lifetime that you have them.
Okay, what about if it's somebody like me that I was showing everybody in the office how great they worked, and I just used my art director's key to show them how it worked, and I said, "Look at these, work great. Check it out. You just go like that, and now all of them work on his truck, but not mine."
Well,
I'm just kidding.
You can get you to buy the locks off of you.
No, I'm just kidding. No, but no.
Sounds like your art director got a bunch of new.
He got a bunch
locks.
Of new. Like, yeah. No, but very seriously, that was my question because of what you just brought up, security. Because if I can reset the locks, so could the thief. And the problem is that the thief in the world, they sit around and come up with ways to do things. So if they go, "Oh, hey. Yeah, I just read online. Yeah. There was a PDF. It said all I got to do is turn it 5 times clockwise and 6 ways this way, and my key will learn it, and then I can just get into their trailer." So that's not the case.
No, it's not the case. And really, when it comes down to it, our locks are not that much more than a regular set of locks you would buy anyways. So you're not paying that much more for a great increase on quality, and it's a convenience in itself.
Yeah. Yeah, and well, you have the cost savings of you don't have to send 2 keys with every padlock you send out, right?
Exactly.
So now it's not just padlocks. You guys have a really good variety of products. I know that you sent me a padlock, but there was also a lock for my receiver hitch and a cable lock. And
correct.
Now what's that cable lock called? Because it has, I don't know the exact terminology, but it's like a tumbler and a shaft that goes into the tumbler. What's the official name of that?
We just call it our cable lock.
Okay.
So what it is, it's just for your guys who are listening out there, it's a 6-foot cable, coiled cable, that has end of the loop, and you just loop it through the cable itself, and then you close it off with our lock. We got a wide variety of locks out there. As you mentioned, some of them, we have the padlock, we have a receiver lock, and then we have our trailer locks, too. So, like, for the coupler pin lock, and we have a new one out there. It's the off-vehicle coupler lock, perfect for locking up the trailer when it's not on the vehicle.
Yeah, because we don't want anybody to steal it then.
Exactly. That's the time that's most vulnerable, is when it's not on your truck.
No, that's true. Now I'm looking on your list here. What is a Jeep hood lock?
Yeah, so what we have certain products that are for a Jeep Wrangler specifically. One of them is our JK hood lock. So like on the Jeep Wranglers, there is no – like most vehicles have an internal release for the hood. On the Jeep Wranglers, they don't. All you have is little rubber snaps on the outside.
So I guess JK I never thought of lock, that, yeah.
Yeah, so what our hood lock does is it allows you to place a lock right in the middle behind your grill, right in the middle underneath the Jeep logo there, and that allows you to lock your hood with your Jeep key then.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. I guess not being a Jeep owner, I never even thought about that, Matt.
Yeah, it's something that if you're doing anything, put anything extra underneath your hood, like if you're doing, some people put compressors underneath there, people just start stealing batteries for what you never know. So it's a way to keep that locked up with still without having to add an extra key to your keyring.
Unfortunately, people will steal anything if they can. I mean, when I heard that people are getting their catalytic converters stolen, I thought, who crawls under a car and cuts a catalytic converter off?
A lot of people do.
They do. I know. And it's like, don't you see the guy with the roto tool driving under, you know, laying on his back under somebody's car?
Anything high volume and a little bit of ground clearance, like a Honda CR-V, they're all missing catalytic converters like in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, nobody's ever going to steal a catalytic converter off my car because
they're all
lowered.
Yeah.
They won't fit under them. So.
Yeah.
But now, as far as like a normal padlock, and I'm bringing this up just strictly because many years ago, I used to work for a company that owned a lot of property. And I had the key ring from hell. It probably had 100, you know, keys on it. They all had a serial number on them, but inevitably every gate I walked up to, I had to sift through there and find 1295, and then you'd open it up. Do you make those just for like general use padlocks like that that use the same technology?
We do not. I mean, the thing is with the Bolt line of products, it's a key alike system based around the vehicle key. So if you have, if you wanted to get like 40 padlocks, you can get a random key code cut into a compatible key, and then you have one key that can open all those padlocks. So then you can have pass out to those your guys in the field if you want to do that.
We did that, and that was the problem. That's why I had so many keys, because one of the guys would get there, he wouldn't have his key, and then he would cut it off and buy a new one, not tell me, and so I had to have this master thing with all these keys.
Right, and but you could do it. You could just go to a Ford dealer and get it. You know,
you could get one key.
Get a key, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, because most guys have a facility truck.
Yeah.
And then you could just, like, you know, hand it out and then, see, we're giving you a whole new idea. You can send the royalty checks to us. That's all right.
So, we'll do.
But
you can get the Brad's key.
Now, where, Jason, where can these be purchased? If somebody that's listening wants to go out, they go, oh, man, it's summer. I'm towing my car to a good guy's event. I'm taking my boat to the river. I got my jet skis, whatever it is. And they want to jump on this so that they don't have to worry about all the keys. Which, here's another added benefit. If you're out on a boat, if you're out on a jet ski, anything like that, you don't want to have to worry about, I've done it, you're constantly worrying about your key ring. You're going to drop it in the water. If you have one ignition key, you can get those things that you put, it's almost like a necklace, you know, it's like a lanyard.
Yep.
And one key is easy. It's manageable. And and that's what's cool. So
you don't put the little floaty on it?
Oh, I do. Yes.
Mine
always had a floaty on it because, you know, after some time in the sun.
How many keys are in the bottom of the lake before you bought the floaty?
I know. Yeah, exactly. But where can they go buy it? Where can they find these at?
I mean, the locks are available at a number of retailers across the country. They go to boltlock.com. We have a retail finder right there. They can see all the retailers near them. Or if they want to look online, we're available at many places, forwardparts.com, summitracing.com, or even on Amazon.
Cool. And they start at like $19.99 and go up from there?
Yep. The padlock, it starts at $19.99. The receiver lock is $29.99. And definitely, you can go online, find a place that sells it, and go right there and pick it up anytime you want.
One last thing. What are we limited on? So how old can my vehicle be? At what point does it not work anymore?
Sure. The locks work with GM, Ford, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Toyota, and Nissan vehicles for about the last 20, 25 years. So we cover a wide range of vehicles on the road these days. And if someone's got a question on that, just go to boltlock.com right again, and then we have a vehicle match. So you put your vehicle in there, and I'll tell you exactly which locks work with your vehicle key.
Perfect. So you got all of it there.
You definitely got, you know, it seems like 90% of the tow vehicles and stuff covered, but there's so many SUVs out there. Where do you guys go from here? Do you start making keys for you mentioned Ford, so maybe Ford trucks and F-150s and Explorers are covered, but, you know, well, what if you're towing a jet ski with your Porsche Cayenne or something.
A Fruhoff conversion, one of those super high-dollar motorhomes.
I mean, look, every luxury car maker makes SUVs and stuff. How many BMW X5s are out there right now that, I don't know how many tow stuff, but, you know, I'm sure it's about if you get enough customers saying, hey, you know, we need it for a BMW, then eventually it comes around. But just wondering if anybody is calling about that.
Not me feel calling about that, but if someone is interested and wants to reach out and ask about that, they can definitely shoot us a message. You can find the information on boltlock.com. But to throw it out there, we have locks to work with Alfa Romeos. If you want to go for extreme different types of vehicles on there. So we do cover a large variety of vehicles on the road these days.
Yeah.
Because am I right, Jason, that basically it just – it reads that little computer chip that's – that little pill that's in the key, right?
It doesn't. It's actually purely mechanical, no batteries required.
Really?
It actually reads the cuts of your key. So the first time you put the key in there, and as you turn it, the tumblers memorize that location. So that's how it works. And you can actually see that on the website. We have a video of exactly showing how the lock turns your key.
Let me ask you another thing that just popped into my head then. What if my key's really worn, which some keys do, I set all my locks, and then I get a new ignition key and it's really sharp. Is there any possibility that it won't read it anymore?
There is a possibility. It depends on how worn your key is.
Because I've seen some ignition keys that are pretty worn. That's why I ask.
Oh, yeah. And actually, we have tighter tolerances in our lock than you do in your ignition.
Oh, wow.
Okay. But if that's the case, if you get the same key cut to that same worn ignition key, it'll still work fine.
Okay. Cool. Well, hey, man, we appreciate you calling in, giving us the lowdown on bolt locks. I mean, I know that when that box showed up, it put a big grin on my face because I was like, man, this is what I've been waiting for, something this smart and something that saves. I mean, it's definitely I think, Matt, because of this, almost guaranteed that we're going to save, I don't know, maybe 4 hours of extra summer.
Probably.
Because we won't be looking for keys. So, hey, everybody. We've got Locksmith on with us. He's also known. He's also goes by an alias, Jason Buckles. But hey, it was great talking with you, man. And just as a reminder, you can find them at boltlock.com. They start at $19.99. I'm telling you, they work. They work really well, and they will save you a bunch of time and heartache over lost keys. Jason, anything else that we got to know before we let you go?
No, and if anyone has any questions, they could definitely see us on social media at Bolt Lock.
Cool. All right. Hey, thank you very much for calling in today.
Well, thank you for having me, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, Matt, we've got another guest today, and it's kind of a guest, I guess you call it?
Yeah.
He is a guest, but he's also our co-host. So we're going to get Aaron on the phone because his new show, his online YouTube show with Lincoln Welders and Torchmate, it debuted this week. Do you know what the name of it is?
Design Cut Aaron.
Design Cut Aaron. I hope he didn't cut Aaron, but you never know. You know, his eyes are going.
Aaron.
But hey, before we do that, I want to tell you about Brush Hero. There are new favorite must-have. It's a water-powered cleaning machine designed for fast fun, expert-level car and bike detailing. It works great on rims, wheel spokes, grills, your gnarly engine bay. Saves time, saves backache, saves you from wet, scraped-up knuckles. No batteries or electricity. It's impressively powerful. It's not meant to spin fast, but rather, you know, it scrubs with a strong, continuous, effective torque, and it won't cause damage. And I'm telling you, man, these things really work.
Yeah.
It comes with a starter set. Now, the starter set comes with two brush heads, a soft one for the sensitive surfaces that you might have, like paint and chrome, and then a tough one for serious mud, muck, brake dust, pool tile, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But beyond cars and trucks, Brush Hero can also clean just about anything. Sporting equipment, patio furniture, the barbecue, and even pets.
An RV.
And
a horse.
Yeah, a horse. There you go. There. And, you know, I think they should start selling them to clean the sides of skyscrapers. You know, those guys are up there. They're cleaning windows. There's got to be some, you know, some pigeon dung and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, they could use it for that because it is the ultimate detailing tool. A must-have for every car lover, motorcyclist, and all-around clean freak. Now, use Shift for 10% off your entire order at brushhero.com. And so remember, that's S-H-I-F-T. That supports us and it supports them. So make sure you do that. You can also find the Brush Hero at select Costco and Walmart stores. But don't forget, code SHIFT for 10% off your order at brushhero.com. And all over orders over $40 get free shipping. So that just puts money in your pocket so that you can go get dirty again.
Yeah, I like it. If you guys get one, send us a picture. Tweet us a picture.
Yeah.
How you're using it. Tell us what you're doing with it.
So,
all right, let's give Aaron a call and see what
Let's give Aaron a call. Double Aaron. Let's get him on right now. Hey, Aaron, how's it going?
Good, guys. How are you today?
We're doing well. We were watching your show on the YouTube.
Yeah. We told everybody we had two guests today, and we said that one of them was a famous co-host. He was on one of the largest podcasts in the world.
Now he's a megastar on his own YouTube channel.
And yeah, now he has his own YouTube channel, and he is something about they carry torches all around whenever he goes anywhere. So
you've been teasing it for a while now, the new season of Design Cut
Build
with new host Aaron Hagar. It's a YouTube series, and it's backed by Lincoln Electric, which you're never going to notice that as soon as you watch the episode.
Yeah, there's no product placement at all in there. Yeah, hey, dude,
there was a scene that was like 7 seconds long of just zoomed in on a hand on someone's glove and said Lincoln Electric. It was fantastic. But man, it looks like you guys are having fun, and you guys managed to make the most complicated sign on Earth.
Multi levels, colors, all kinds of pins. How many of those pins did you have to grind on?
Oh, I don't even remember, like 50 something of them.
So get into it a little bit. So this is season 3. It just started.
Hey, wait, before you go any farther, season 3 has a new host.
Yeah.
And
They started the series a couple years ago to kind of promote their Torchmate tables, and it got some traction. So Lincoln's backing it with Torchmate as a series, and they want to up the ante a little bit. So they hired me to come in, which I'm already a part of the Lincoln family with sponsorship, and I've been with them for years. And it's local; it's in Reno, so it's about an hour and a half drive for me each way, but it's still kind of local. And I said, heck yeah, I'd love to do it. And I did one of their design cut build open builds where they had like a competition. And it was really fun. So I said, yeah, I'd love to sign on. So we looked at some contracts. And it's funny because I look at YouTube and I go, it's YouTube, you know. But I got to say, you know, the little teaser we did collectively has over almost 500,000 views collectively between their social media. And this show, after a couple of days, is already near 100,000 views in its social media and YouTube viewing. So I have to say, you look at any kind of run-of-the-mill shows out on network, and they'd be lucky to get, you know, 250,000 views. So I got to say, I love the show. I love the product. And YouTube's not so bad. You know, it's kind of hard for us older guys to kind of think that YouTube is actually like a viable network.
Now, Aaron, speak for yourself, old guy.
It really is.
Speak for yourself.
It really is.
No, but the thing that you forget is that so much content is consumed on the mobile device nowadays that it doesn't differentiate because you're not going, oh, I'm either going to watch it on my mobile device or my 64-inch plasma. No, it's if you're watching everything on your mobile device, what's the difference if you watch it on YouTube or you watch it on, some other network or Netflix or something?
Yeah, but it could be on Facebook.
Yeah,
it's pretty much anywhere.
True. I watch everything on my iPad. You know, I've got a great TV, but I don't want to turn it on because there's just junk. You know, you pay $200 a month for a bunch of junk that just shows over and over and over again. I find that I watch YouTube, I watch Mighty Car Mods and some of my other favorite shows, and I watch those daily on my iPad, and I don't even turn on the TV much anymore. So I totally get it. It's just, here we are chasing, network stuff, and this is a network show, and I'm really proud of it, and it's got some traction. I'm just signing on to two more seasons, so we'll be giving you a total of 24 more episodes. And I'm all into it, man. I think it's good.
Good, good for you, man.
How much do you want for your TV?
Better budget, you know.
Matt wants to know how much you want to sell your TV to him for. Hey, but you know what the thing is that I have Dish Satellite, and I'm one of those guys who pays the stupid $200 a month or whatever, and gets every station. But when I go to my Netflix now to turn on Netflix on my TV, there's another icon that says YouTube, and I've been watching it.
Yeah.
You can watch YouTube right there. It comes in, man. It streams. The only thing they have to figure out is the TV guide for YouTube, because it's like, if you don't know what you want, you've got to find it, you know, and you've also got
to sit. It's a little hard to navigate right now.
Yeah, unless I use the remote that's hooked up to my my iPhone, you know, doing it with the where you got to move the letters and move the arrow. That's like doing text on the old phones. Remember in the olden days when you had to press it three times for a C, and then you'd see some people, they were so fast. I'd go, how do you do that, man?
Aaron, walk us through this episode, the first episode that's up there. You guys are making a sign for the show,
and then we want to ask you. We have an idea for something you should make on a future show.
Okay.
So tell us about kind of making this sign. Just give us an overview of like sort of the steps that were involved, because making a sign, as I say, it sounds easy, but this was not easy.
Yeah, it's a little tricky because, you know, I'm taking the point of view of the audience, which is, you know, I don't know everything, and I'm here to learn too. So I'm learning CAD, and Iggy, my co-host, did everything on CAD first, and then they imported their TorchMate program, which they can put it into the TorchMate. We use the 4400, and it's basically a robotic plasma arm that cuts it out according to what you design in CAD. So I have to say, it's precision. You know, it's not a water jet or a laser, which have that just that micro precision. But I'm amazed at how detailed you can get on a plasma, and if you do it right, there's no, you know, there's no dross or slag on the other end. It's really clean, and that's it. We're doing so much stuff that you would expect, stuff that you wouldn't expect. It blows my mind. And as a repurposed guy, I'm really excited because now I'm starting to think like more fabricator, like more stuff I can do. And it's really kind of it broadened my arsenal of options in designing and fabricating stuff. I'm really, really excited about it. So
it's probably learning. Is it one of those things, Aaron, where the more you use the TorchMate, the more you learn that what it can do, and the more it gets you thinking, if it can do that, I could do this with it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you have to remember, you're seeing things flat in 2D, but you can put them on, you know, you can weld them together. You can, you know, you put them on a, bend them and create all these elaborate shapes. And it's really cool because I'm starting to think that way now, instead of just repurposing, like, how can I make this fit on that? Well, if I bang on it enough, it'll eventually change its shape. No, I can think of, hey, here's a transition piece with a logo in it. You know, it's cool, man. I'm telling you, I'm sure you know you've experienced that in the past with the builds you've done.
Yeah,
you know, even down to signage, you know, down to card holders, and I'm thinking of all kinds of stuff. You know, it's going to be pretty disgusting when you walk in my house and everything's in metal.
I really like Aaron's wife's. She has a new pair of clogs. They're made out of sheet metal.
Yeah, they're sheet metal.
So, I'm making my own sockets now.
So you guys made a sign for the show, and you did it in multiple layers to give it sort of a 3D effect, which was pretty cool. But what else is coming up on this season?
Well, we built some really cool stools for the second show, which should air any time after this airs, I think, right around there. It's every 2 weeks. And we did one repurposed one with a bunch of cool stuff I had to do. I had Lunati, like connecting arms and stuff, and we used those in pistons. You know, we used some pretty high-end stuff that I was given. But we also made two from scratch, which are really unique, and not just have a pattern in, but one is like kind of a geometric puzzle, and it's pretty cool. And we did, I can't reveal too much of what's coming up, but we did a build for another TV show. We did an install build, which is pretty cool. And then we built me a really nice welding cart slash table, which I was really excited about, because I didn't think the show was going to be so self-serving. You know, I get to take something home. But, it's stuff you would want to do and use every day, and then it comes some kind of unique stuff, some garden stuff. And, you know, we try to make the projects manageable for other people to experience, and that's something that they would want to build at home, and then they can go on the website or the design forum, and they can look at the the actual artwork itself, and then they can take that and put it on their machine. It's they have a really neat program. It is, you know, it is a marketing show to market their tools and their stuff, but it's we're trying to take a kind of almost a little comedic spin on the show and just have fun. You know?
Well, one thing I thought I liked was, unlike the normal build show that you'd see on Velocity, this is more of an instructional show. You know, this is more of like going to shop class.
They want you to buy a Torchmate.
Yeah, but you guys kind of walk through what you're doing and show them all the things that you guys are doing to actually make this piece. So if somebody wanted to make something similar, they could go back and watch this YouTube episode again and again and kind of put together their own version of.
Are you saying if they didn't have a Torchmate, they could get a hacksaw and a drill press and in 3 years have the same sign done?
I'm telling you, there's probably a much more analog way of doing it. That would take a while.
You could use a cutting wheel. You can use a bandsaw. You know, you can use a hand plasma torch. You know, this just has more precision. But yeah, I mean, the bottom idea is to get people motivated. You know, show them some neat tools, but get them motivated to go out and do stuff. And as you know, we love TV. We love all of our friends, and we have tons of friends that are on TV. Our whole network of friends are pretty much on TV. And, you know, one of the challenges they all have is that content between what's entertaining, what's instructional, what's authentic, you know. And the nice thing about YouTube and Netflix and Hulu and all these other formats is that we have control of that content and we have influence on that content. And we can be ourselves and have it be pretty much unscripted, you know, with kind of an outline of where we're going so that we can pick the shots out and do it in a timely manner. But for the most part, you know, it's all freehand and it's a lot of fun. And I think that's what people are looking for. And that's why they're turning to YouTube and the Netflix shows and these alternative.
Now, Aaron, where you're filming, you said, is that that's Torchmate's headquarters in Reno? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Because it looks like a giant place. It looks like it's got all kinds of.
Huge.
And it looks like it's pretty much a one-stop shop. You walk over when you're making the sign, and there's the painter guy, and then there's the grinders, and you've got everything there. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And your co-host, Iggy.
Uh-huh. Iggy Sandas. Yeah, he's awesome. He's done so many things. I mean, he's even cut the balls off a sheep. He worked for a farmer. He's got a real eclectic background like myself. So,
wow, that's
so we have a lot of fun. But he's a really good fabricator, and he's one of their educators. So he's really, really knowledgeable. And it's a fun contrast because he's, like, really serious and kind of stiff. And I'm like the bubbly new guy, you know, so we have a really fun time.
He doesn't wear those as a necklace or anything, does he? I mean, you know, that would be really gross. So, hey, okay, so.
We started watching it, and like 9 seconds into it, you had your laugh, and then we laughed over here when you laughed.
It was like, yeah, they're going to know.
Well, you know, and I find joy in everything.
Well, so. Matt goes, doesn't he know we copyrighted that for Shift and Steer?
That's
so,
right.
You know, he can't laugh on other shows.
Yeah, he has a new laugh.
Okay, couple ideas, okay? We need a sign in here, a Shift and Steer sign for our studio, dude. Wait, what's the deal?
I'm on it.
But here's one. Okay. Years and years ago, your dad made Red Rocker billet sunglasses.
Right. I remember those.
Okay. I'm thinking, you know, Aaron, you should be making yourself a pair of flame-cut eyeglasses because you're wearing glasses now. You get some thin-gauge metal, come up with a cool design, cut them out, and then have somebody pop some lenses in them. You could have some folding. You could grind them all smooth, powder coat them some cool color. They could be your trademark glasses, man.
You can make yourself some bifocals.
Yeah, Yeah, there'll be 400 a pair at that rate, too. First of all, Brad, I hate flames. I'm not a flame guy. I don't like flames.
No, but I didn't say flames. I did not say flames. I said flame cut them.
Yeah,
just
you
a
meant,
cool.
You meant the torch,
oh,
mate.
Flame cut them. Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, I painted my own welding helmet, which you know, Lincoln's been in talks for years about my own line of equipment, and I don't know why, but it keeps getting put on the back burner. So I've been designing my own helmets and designing my own gloves and wearing them on the show. So I'm hoping that people kind of write in and go, hey, we really like that helmet. Hey, we really like those gloves. And then, you know, DCB, we get our own line of products with Lincoln. So I have to say, there is a little personal agenda in all that, too.
Wait a minute. You started out by saying, I didn't think it'd be so self-serving. And now, see,
now
the truth
like,
comes
now
out.
I've got a mask,
you know,
we
see. He's like every other guy on TV. Know. It's all about himself.
He's going to change his name to Lincoln Hagar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it'll be Abe Hagar. Just kind of more subtle.
Hey, come on. It's a red company. We're already in bed together. You know that, well...
Yeah.
and then you know what'll happen, Matt, is we'll call him one day and we'll go, hey, you know, 11 o'clock, we're, and he'll go, who's this? He'll go, Matt.
Who?
And he'll go, Matt who?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, we
new
see the writer.
Who dis?
Yeah, yeah. It'll be, you know, can I help you? Well, yeah, is Aaron there?
Well,
this is Aaron's assistant.
Well, as you know, on Fridays at 11 o'clock, they sound a horn, and I take an hour break to do the show. So I think the last three or four shows I've done sitting on the couch in the lounge or the training room towards me. So.
Well, we have noticed that the reception's a little bit better down in Reno than it is up in Tahoe.
Yeah,
I'm sure it is. So, it's a huge concrete building. Yeah, you know, real quick, too, they actually make those Torchmate tables in that building. So that's why they have the paint booth and the powder coat. You know, that's why they have all that.
That's cool.
They literally manufacture them right there, and it is so cool.
So they're made in America.
Definitely made in America.
Not Reno, China.
But they have these big robotic arms, you know, and stuff, because they build these things for, like, you know, ships, you know, they're doing the oil drilling, so they do all the pipe cutting and design work there. And so some of these rigs are massive, and it's really neat to see that, like, that mechanics on that scale, you know. It's neat stuff.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
But, hey, real quick, I wanted to run by this high tide beach party that Dad's doing.
Yeah, October.
So I need to put you guys in touch because Matt, I think that they want to bring in some high end cars, you know, from some of our buddies.
Is this something we should talk about off the air?
Well, I think we can talk about it off the air, but I think it's okay to talk about it on the air too, because I'm being told that we're going to be able to do a live podcast from the show.
Oh yeah, that's what Mikey had mentioned too. But I'd heard that, you know, I had some friends going to buy tickets yesterday, and it's already sold out.
Yeah, well, it's already sold out. Well, according to my list here, that they have a lot of comp packages and a lot of stuff that they're probably going to be marketing. So don't lose hope. I think more.
No, I mean general admission. I should have been specific. General admission.
Yeah.
They have cabanas. Yeah. They have group packages.
VIP,
all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, which are pretty cool. And I have to say, the VIP packages. You know, these guys are really excited about this show. I had a meeting with them yesterday, and they're very excited about the show. And I think they really, really want to give it up. So I think the packages, you know, even though they can be a little pricey, I think they're going to do a lot and have a lot for people. And I think it's going to be a really amazing show, because there's so many shows out there. How are you going to top it, or how are you going to make it different, or how are you going to put a spin on it that people haven't already seen? I got to say, you know, Dad's got a very idealistic vision, and I think he's going to get it. And this is a big deal. This is on the beach, literally on the beach. And when does that happen? Liquor license, everything. There's going to be live music, you know, drinks and food and a lot of celebrities and a lot of great cars. And it's going to be hella fun, man.
Are they going to be able to clear the beach of all that sand? Because, you know, that's the one problem with the beach is it's dirty.
One of the sponsors already reached out to me and said they want to get the promoter and in contact to me about some cars, and I said, I think I know a guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, let's talk about all this off the air. Let's get back to your show. Where can they find it? When does it come out?
The show is out. It's every 2 weeks. It started on the 26th, and you can go to YouTube and type in Torchmate. It is right there. The show is called Design Cut Build, and it's so I think there's links from Lincoln's website. There's links from Torchmate. There's links from mine. And, yeah, and, you know, if you Google me, there's usually lots of stuff going on. I'm sure you'll find
Well, you've been hitting it up on your Instagram, too, so they can just go to Aaron Hagar on Instagram and find stuff. Now, of course, on Instagram, they haven't figured out how to make a clickable link yet, but you can actually get the information. So, but
I know it's not a clickable link from Instagram, huh?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So technology, come on, guys, get with it. Get with it.
So, it is if you buy an ad.
Is it?
Yeah. If you buy the ad, you can link.
Then you can make. I see what they're doing. They're
That's
trying to make
how they
money
get you.
Out of it.
That's how they get
you. So where can they find us online, Matt?
You know, check us out at shiftandsteer.com, and of course, all of our social media is at shiftsteermedia. We want you guys to check that out as well. And, you know, our friends at Podcast One, they've got another podcast over there you guys should check out as well called the Big 12 Podcast. You can join their host, Chuck Cooperstein, each week as he covers all the happenings at Baylor, Iowa State, the University of Kansas State, the University of Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, TCU, Texas, Texas Tech, and West Virginia. So don't miss the Big 12 Podcast on Podcast One, podcast1.com, and Apple Podcasts. And if you like the show, give them a nice little review and rating as well. It's the Big 12 Podcast. Check that out.
And why do I have this feeling that the Big 12 Podcast is not saying go watch or go listen to Shift and Steer? What's up with that?
I'm sure as they're saying this right now, they're saying, if you like Big 12 Podcasts, you should listen to Shift and Steer.
So, okay, well, hey, as we said, make sure you go check out Aaron's new show, Design Cut Build. It's really cool. We had fun watching the first episode. We're waiting for the next ones. And you can find all of us on social media. We've been telling you, tell your friends to subscribe. Check us out. Things have been going up. We've been getting bigger numbers. Thank you, everyone, for doing that. You can find me online at Bondspeed Brad on Instagram, Brad Fanshaw everywhere else. Matt?
Just Motorator, at Motorator everywhere.
Do we have to put the just in front of it, or is it just
Motorator everywhere?
Just Motorator.
And like we said, find Aaron Hagar at Double A Ron Hagar. And we're going to talk about this off the air. We're going to get it all dialed in for Sammy's High Tide party out at Huntington Beach car show, concert, scantily clad women, booze, all kinds of stuff.
It'll be awesome.
That's starting to sound like a Man Seeks Adventure day to me. So,
be sure to do your podcast before you before the adventure portion of Man Seeks Adventure, because I've done one of your podcasts where you've adventured first, and the podcast is a shit show.
That's what's fun about it, man. You should have seen our podcast. We went the next one is we went backstage at Kevin Hart, and everywhere at Kevin Hart comedy concert, everything you walk in, they have cell phone security. As you're walking through the parking lot, there's people going, don't bring your cell phones in, you'll be ejected. Don't bring your cell phones in, you'll be ejected. There are people with yellow vests. It says cell phone security. And they say, don't text, don't answer. If it comes out of your pocket, you go out the gate and you don't get a refund. And they're very strict about it. We're standing in the crowd, and the guy comes out, and he makes a comedy skit out of it, and it wasn't Kevin Hart. It was one of the opening guys, and he goes, okay, so in Sacramento last night, we ejected 201 people. You don't want to be, and as we're standing there, look over, and they're ejecting four guys who were taking pictures of the guy doing his skit.
Of saying, don't do it.
And as you go to your seat, they hand you a postcard that says, we're serious. Don't take your phone out. Don't do this. Don't, you know, just turn it off. And so we're backstage. We got all these shots of us taking pictures. We're doing a video stand-up on the stage, and we're doing it with the thing behind us and everything like that. And then we went, they invited us back to Kevin Hart's backstage area, and we were back there hanging out. And, of course, you know, we had to partake. We had to hang out. We had a couple beers, a couple cocktails. And so needless to say, we kind of forgot to do our podcast.
Exactly.
We were backstage to do our podcast, and with all the meeting and greeting and hanging out, and we were having such a good time, the show started, and we were like, oh, we got to get to our seats. And so we had to do our podcast after the show.
Thank you for proving my point.
Yes, but that's Man Seeks Adventure. It's like the guy's ultimate party.
It's so much adventure, we forget to tell you about it on our podcast.
Now, I will tell you, I can relate, Matt, because the episode that's up right now, we went to Chateau Marmont, the Hollywood hangout.
Yeah.
And it was all to celebrate Anthony Bourdain because that was one of his favorite places. And I got to drive the McLaren up there. So I was the odd man out because when I'm driving something like that, I'm not drinking at all. I mean, we even say it on the show. Don't be a dick. Don't drink and drive. That's not even cool. And so, but Heather and Dave, they Ubered there. Over. They didn't care. So they were three. They were three.
Dave bloody, never drives anywhere.
No, three Bloody Marys in plus a beer, and you know Heather can keep up with Dave. and I started seeing what you were talking about because I'm like Mr. Sober, and I'm going, You guys are crazy. Come on, stick with the show here.
Focus.
Yeah.
So, like kids.
So anyways.
All right, guys. All right.
Hey, thanks. While we're talking about this, though, real quick, how's Goldberg doing out on the Gold Rush Rally?
Goldberg's doing great. It's going to be a hectic summer as we try to get shows in the can, but he's doing great. He did the Gold Rush Rally.
What was he driving on that?
A Ford GT.
That's what I thought. Was that the Monster Energy one?
Yeah.
Man, how'd he score that one?
Kurt Busch, I believe.
Really?
Yeah. And he stopped off at Barrett Jackson and auctioned
I saw that, yeah.
The last Viper and the last Demon together for $1 million.
I saw the guy buy that, man.
For charity. Wow. We went to United Way, and it also raised the buyer's premium, which $100,000 went to
Carolyn's charity.
Driven Hearts.
Yes, Driven Hearts.
Yeah, so $1.1 million in charity
raised
for that alone. And despite what you may think, Goldberg does fit in a Ford GT.
Well, obviously he does.
He may still be in it right now. I don't know if you can get him out, but he fit in there.
And I'll tell you guys, we were invited on the Gold Rush Rally this year, and they wanted us to drive a car, but I told them, no, we're going to opt out because all three of us can't fit in an Aventador. And I didn't want to leave one of you guys by the roadside, so I just said no.
Right.
And I said, you take your $100,000 you wanted to pay us, and you just keep it.
Can you do it in an Uber and then have a cocktail?
Wouldn't that be great? The whole trip, you're just in the back of an Uber that's all wrapped and everything, and you got your cocktail back there, and
I'm gonna do it in the back seat of a Rolls Royce, like in Cannonball Run 2, and just
there,
the cocktail and have somebody
next year. There's always next year. You up for it, Aaron?
Oh, yeah, I'm going. You know, Amy always invites me, but I never have really had a nice enough car to go. But I told her maybe the Mini can go, but I'll have to show up a day late.
The Mini isn't even worthy of going on that. If you don't take your Farfignugan, it's
drive the Pinsgauer.
That's what I'm saying. I call it the Farfignugan. The Pinsgauer. Take the Pinsgauer and wrap it all up with one of your crazy faces, you know, up on the side. And
yeah.
All right,
we got to go.
I think Pinsgauer would have to have a lot more. I think it may do 45, 50 on the highway.
Put it on a flatbed behind a trailer, behind a semi-truck.
There you go.
So, all right, everybody. Hey, we got to go. We're out of here.
All right.
Thanks.
All right, thanks for the love. See you. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.